why did God send Jesus into the world? And we want to look at John chapter 3, 16 and 17. John 3, 16 and 17. Can we have it on the screen too? Over here. Okay, let's read it together. Ready, go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. So, what are we seeing there? Why did God send Jesus into the world? So that those who do what? Who believe in him will not perish. What are they expected to have? Everlasting life. Amen. So did God send Jesus to condemn us? Did he send Jesus to condemn those that are in the world that are still living in sin? But they're doing terrible things. What? He still wants them to be saved because they can't help themselves. They don't even know what they are doing. Remember Jesus when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. Children, are you listening? God didn't send Jesus to condemn anyone, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen? Okay, let's look at Luke 19:10. Let's read it together. Ready, go. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So why did Jesus come? To do what? He came to seek and to save those which was lost. Amen? So that's the reason he came. Never to judge or to condemn anyone, but to save us. Amen? Luke 9:56. By the time you finish going through these scriptures, you'll be able to know why Jesus came. Let's read it together. Ready, go. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another verse. So we just wanted the first sentence that Jesus did not come to destroy our lives. In fact, he came so that we might have life and have it to the full till it overflows. Amen? So Jesus came to save men's lives. Amen? Thank you so much. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. Let's look at that. 1 John 3. I want AMPC if you have it. Do you have it? You don't have it. Okay. All right. Now let's read. But he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. Is that all? Is that all of it? Okay. Let's continue. The reason the Son of God was made manifest, visible, was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil. That's the work the devil has done. So why did he come again? To destroy every work of the devil. What are the works of the devil? You know them. What are they? He encourages you to sin, sickness, poverty, lack of peace, discouragement. Whatever you can think of that will not make you happy. That is the work of the devil. But Jesus came to undo all those things. And did he do that? He sure did. Amen? All right. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14. Galatians 3:13 and 14. Ready, go. Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, doom of the law, and its condemnation by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, is crucified, continue, to the end that receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you see what he's saying there, that Christ purchased our freedom. How many of us are free? And we sing it. Are you free? Yay! Is that not what we say? Christ purchased our freedom. He bought it. He redeemed us from the curse. If you look at Genesis chapter 28 from verse 16 or 15, you begin to read all the curses. All those curses, Christ redeemed you from all of them. He purchased your freedom. He freed you from all that. You must know this so that whenever you see any of those symptoms showing up, you must stand your ground and say, no way. There's a bloodline. Jesus' blood has been shed. He redeemed me from you. You don't have any portion in me. Amen? Remember what we were taught yesterday. It's not robbery. It's your rightful position. Christ purchased your freedom, redeemed you from all those curses. Amen? All right, so because he hung on the tree, that's what the Bible said. So because he redeemed you, the Bible said the blessings that belong to Abraham automatically became yours. Is it yours because you now perform well? So why is it yours? It's by grace. It's by grace, amen? Because Christ purchased your freedom. He made you a child of God. He gave you the promised Holy Spirit, and by the presence of that Holy Spirit, you are able to enjoy everything that belongs to Jesus. Amen? All right. Now let's go to the next scripture. Galatians chapter 4:4-6. Galatians 4:4-6. Okay, let's read it. Ready, go. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law, 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, 5-6. And because he has sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you see, because of the presence of the Spirit of his Son in you, you can now say, Daddy. That's why you can call God your daddy. How did this happen? Because Jesus came. That's the reason Jesus came, to make us children of God. We became adopted. So if you don't understand the fact that you are born of God, understand that you have been adopted. My father-in-law adopted 2 children. They have our last names. And when he was dying, he gave them their own portion of inheritance. They were in the will. Whatever they buy for their legal children, they also buy for these adopted ones. There was no division because they were adopted. That's how God adopted you and I into the family of God and gave us his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, so that by that Spirit of his Son, you can now say, Daddy, you can now go to your daddy. That's why Jesus came, to make us his brothers and his sisters. Amen? Hallelujah. Is that not good news? It's a beautiful news. Can you imagine? The creator of heaven and earth is my daddy. And he's your daddy. That's why Jesus came. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's look at John 10:10. John 10:10. Please, if you have any question, please, you can always lift up your hand so that we can sort it out before we go to the next scripture. Let's read. John 10:10. Is that John 10:10? John 10:10. Ready, go. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So why did Jesus come? That we might have what? He said that they may have and enjoy life. It's not just that you have life, but for you to also do what? Enjoy that life. Amen? And have it how? In abundance to the full till it does what? It overflows and begin to touch other lives. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus came. So there's excitement in the house of God. That's why they say joy, joy, joy. Joy in the Lord. In Jesus there is joy every day. Hallelujah. It's not some days, but how many days? Every day, 24/7. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did for us. That's why he came. Now, what makes you know that you are born again? What makes you know that you are born again? Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and then 15 to 16. Romans 8, 9, 15 to 16. So let's read. Ready, go. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. Amen? He didn't say if anyone does not have the spirit of God. He said the spirit of Christ. It has to be the spirit of Christ, the one who died. It is true God came, but he died. And after he died, that's the one that you need his spirit. Amen? As God, you can't have his spirit. But when he died, his spirit could now get into all of us. Do you understand? So you have to really watch the words that the Bible uses. You understand? Amen? So he says, no, let's go back to that verse 9 again. That last sentence in verse 9. He said, now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So that means, if anybody tells you, I go to church, my mother was born in a church, I've been going to church since I was born, is that person a child of God? So what you want to hear is that, I have the spirit of Christ in me. That is the only thing that makes me know that I'm a child of God. If you do not have the spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to him. There's no amount of going to church and sleeping in church and carrying the fattest Bible and wearing the lowest gown and the one that covers even your face and only your eyes is seen. None of those things make you a child of God. Not even fasting 100 days in a year. That will never make you a child of God. You know why? Because God is looking for his image. And that his image is who? Jesus Christ. That's why he said, if you don't have the spirit of my son in you, you don't belong to me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at verse 15. Let's read verse 15 now. But you are in the flesh, but you are not in the flesh, but verse 15, but is that verse 15? Okay, let's read. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So you see, when you're fearful, it means that you don't know who you are. Is that not true? When you're fearful, when you're living in fear habitually, I don't see any child that is coming to daddy or mommy and is afraid, unless maybe he's a little bit, maybe a teenager, no, maybe he did something. Then when he hears the voice of daddy or mommy, the face squeezes and he starts hiding somewhere. He said, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Christ did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That is 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. He gave us the spirit of adoption. You are a child of God. You could run to him anytime, even when you miss it. In fact, that's when you need him the most, isn't it? It is when you miss it that you need him the most. Because there's nobody that can help you. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's not just when you are saved, but even as you're living the Christian life, you need to know this. Amen? Verse 16. The Spirit, let's read. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You will have that inward witnessing. Because remember, you now have the Spirit of Christ in you. He's living in you. And that Spirit of Christ in you bears witness with you. You will have that inward witnessing that I'm a child of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, now remember what we're dealing with. What makes you know that you are born again? I know that I'm born again because I have received the Spirit of Christ in me. The Spirit of Christ in me bears witness that I'm a child of God. You must be able to have one scripture that you can handle to know that will help you to substantiate the fact that I'm a child of God. So I know that I'm born again because according to Romans 8 verse 9b, I have the Spirit of Christ in me. And verse 16 says that the Spirit of Christ in me bears witness, and I have that inward witnessing within me that I'm a child of God. So you can be bold about this, your salvation thing. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So how do you get born again? Let's look at Romans 10, 14, 15. Romans 10, 14, 15. How do we get born again? So let's read. Ready? Go. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Amen? Verse 15. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Amen? So that means that for you to be born again, you must have heard about this good news about Jesus and what he did for you. Someone who knew about him, that have received his image, that is now a child of God, must have said something to you. You must have heard it somehow about Jesus, that he died for your sins and he was buried, and on the third day he resurrected for your justification. You understand? So there's no way you can be born again from birth. You must have to be matured enough to hear this good news. You know, when we were in, when I was at Queen's College, I remember, in fact, right from my father-in-law, right from the time I was, I was with my mom. When a baby is born, I think after 3 months, they take that baby for water baptism, and they do that, and then they now say that they give them Godfather, Godmother, and say that they have to help the parents to keep on teaching that child until when the child is of age now to understand everything about salvation and now chooses to believe in the Lord Jesus, then they will bring that child back for the bishop to now confirm this one is now a child of God. They wear white and they come, and the bishop will, they say they are doing confirmation. But those things were just, it got to a point. It started well initially, but then somewhere along the line, it became an occasion. Once your child is 8 years old, they come and be bombarding the principal's office. Please, my child has, because they now said, unless you are 8 years, we can't confirm you. So because they believe that maybe by 8 years old, you would have, heard about Jesus, and you would have understood. But there was nothing taking place in the area of even anybody understanding anything about salvation. Once they are 8 years, their parents will come and tell the principal. They will buy white and they will do party. The bishop will come and say, we now confirm that this person is now a child of God. But none of them knew anything about salvation. You must have had this good news. And then you have to believe, and then you are saved. Amen? All right. So remember what we are saying, that how can they believe in him that they have never heard about? So you must hear. That's why parents, we encourage you, keep on telling. Beautiful thing happened. There was it last Sunday. 4 children gave their lives to Christ last Sunday. I remember one came to our senior pastor And then three of them now came when we were holding a meeting for Living Word Conference saying, we want to give our lives to Jesus. I said, really? So I told these people, please, oh, give me time. I need to lead these children. On their own, they came. And it happened that they are all 9 years of age. Hallelujah. So I started explaining to them, and then at the end I prayed with them, and I want to encourage their parents to please continue to follow up with that so that they are grounded in what they did at this age of 9. Amen? All right. So someone must have told you, and you hear, and then you choose to believe. Let's look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Shall we read that on the screen? Ready, go. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's see the first thing. You have to confess with your... Let's look. Go back to that verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. See, it's important that you voice it out. If you believe, then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And then he said, you have to believe in your heart. There was a lady, Usher, when we moved over to Foursquare, we met her there. And then 3 years after, we were doing what we call Big Membership Day, the women. That's what we call our Women's Day here. Big Membership Day. That's what we call it in Nigeria. So we had a guest speaker. And this lady came to preach and at the end made an altar call. And this lady, Usher, walked over and gave her life to Christ. I was so curious. So when we went for the women's meeting on Tuesday, I was asking her, I said, Bosse, I thought you were born again. I met you here 3 years ago as an usher. She said, whoa, my mother kept pestering me and I had to go and give my life to Christ so she would leave me alone. But now I understand what it means to be born again. So I had to go to be born again for myself. You see the difference? He said here, you have to believe in your heart, because it's a spiritual thing. The moment you connect with God by his son Jesus, that very moment the blood of Jesus, God's son, washes away your sins and God stamps his image. And that his image is what? The promised Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. Children, are you hearing? Are you hearing? Amen. This is good news. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. Ready, go. In him you also did what? Trusted. When did you trust in him? After you heard the word of truth. Remember what we said? How can they believe in him that they have not heard of? You see what the Bible is saying. Please, let's note the way the Bible stipulates these things. Let's start again. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Remember what the gospel of your salvation is? Everything about Jesus and the finished work on the cross of Christ. So you must have heard about Jesus, not hearing about God, but you're hearing about Jesus and what he did for you. Okay, let's continue. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? So, you trusted in him, but that was after you heard the gospel, the good news about Jesus. After you heard it, like Bosse heard it, she stepped up, but she didn't believe. So, that wasn't real salvation. After you heard it, and then if you believe, the moment you do it is a spiritual thing. The Bible said you were done what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. Hallelujah. And it is the presence of the Holy Spirit of Christ in you that guarantees that you are a child of God, that guarantees that everything that belongs to Jesus is also your portion. Amen? That's what he's saying there. Verse 14. Let's read verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? Hold on to that. You see, the promised Holy Spirit is the guarantee that everything that belongs to Jesus is your portion. And that the reason is so very important you understand this is because Sometimes you don't get it right. Sometimes you sin. That's why he said there that the promised Holy Spirit is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What is the purchased possession? The body with which you are going to be raptured. You don't have it yet. You are still in this flesh of sin. So sometimes you find this flesh acting up. Do you understand? And that will make you think, well, I don't think I'm really born again. And then you start feeling, you know, shame. You start having guilt. You start pulling back. You say, no, I think this my salvation thing is not really real. Because you are looking at your performance. You understand? But that is why you must understand that what makes you know that you're a child of God is not because the things you used to do, you no longer do them. It is not that. Because when you say that, you find out that the devil will really corner you one place. And then you say, whoa, so I'm still doing this. Do you understand what I'm saying? The only thing that guarantees that you're a child of God is that you have the Spirit of Christ in you. When you now have the Spirit of Christ in you, he begins to teach you, and then you begin to grow like a baby. What you don't know today, you know it tomorrow. What you don't know tomorrow, you know it next tomorrow. That's why the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, as you keep on beholding, who are you beholding? Jesus Christ by his word. He's saying you're being transformed into his very own image from one level of glory to another level of glory, to another level of glory, to another level of glory, until Jesus comes to take you home. And he told us in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 that I'm confident of this very thing, that the one that started this beautiful work is faithful and will continue up until the time of his return. Amen? He's not about to give up on you, because he knows that you're still in this flesh of sin. He understands how we are framed. But his Spirit comes along to help us. Hallelujah. That's why he told us in Hebrews chapter 4, 6, he said we should come boldly. Why do you need to come boldly? Because his mercy abounds. Because Jesus Christ guarantees open door for you. Because you have need, especially when you miss it, so that the devil will not make you to move from the front seat to the middle row, to the back row, and then you move out. He said, he that is down needs fear no fall. He said, I might as well join them out there. I don't fit in here. No, that's what the senior pastor has been teaching us. Amen? Hallelujah. So, you get born again by first hearing the good news, the gospel of your salvation, and then you choose to believe, and then you choose to put your trust in him. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And it is the presence of the Holy Spirit of Christ in you that guarantees you are a child of God, that guarantees that everything that belongs to Jesus is your portion. Remember where we read in Romans 8:9b. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to him. Hallelujah. That Holy Spirit is what you are sealed with the moment you genuinely receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 2. 13 to 15. Colossians 2, 13, 15. Have that sin nature. So you are born as a sinner. Because you are born of a man and a woman, you are not born of the Spirit. So, it is only in Christ that that nature is cut off. That's what the senior pastor was telling us yesterday. It was cut off only in Christ. The moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that nature is cut off. And you receive a new nature. You receive the Spirit of Christ, whereby you can call God your daddy. Okay? And then he said you were dead because of your sins. So when we talk about sins, I want you to know, because he said you were all talking, referring to all of us. It's a singular sin. You remember that the Bible said that. You know, okay, and let me know, we've read it before, but let's continue because of our time. But I want you to know that it's the sin of Adam that makes a sinner a sinner. Then the fruit of that sin nature is adultery, fornication, stealing, cheating, and all that. Just like you, when you become a child of God, you receive the Spirit of Christ, you become righteous, not because of your right doing, but because of the Spirit of Christ that now indwells you. And the fruit of that Spirit of Christ now becomes love, joy, peace, gentleness, and so on and so forth. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, it is a sin nature. And then he said, verse 14, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. So if you believe that what he did on the cross was for you, then you are made righteous. You are right with God. He, you know, see, if I tell my sister, you know, I just wanted to come inside this building. I'm telling Dora, come inside the church. Just sit. I just say, come in and sit. She's free to sit anywhere, isn't it? But if I should tell her, when you come, sit at the very first chair by the ushers or something. If I come in and she's not doing that, it means she's disregarding what I told her. Do you understand? When you have a set of laws, it kind of glares to your face when you miss out any of them. And then that's when sin consciousness, and guilt begins to show up. You understand? And because the law was always making us to feel guilty, because when you look at it, say, oh, I didn't do this. Oh, I'm not doing this. And that makes you feel guilty. That gives the devil a room to keep on bombarding your mind. Say, you call yourself a child of God. Look at you. Yeah, you didn't do this. And you're not doing this. So Jesus Christ came and took it out and nailed that to the cross. Hallelujah. And the Bible said he forgave, verse 14, leave off verse 15. Verse 14, go back. He said, verse 13. Let's go back to verse 13. The last one. For he forgave how many of our sins? Is there anyone left out? The Yorubas will say, egbogbo niye. That is everything. All of it. He forgave us. Is that a license to sin? No. Because sin has consequences. If you sin, God still loves you, but you're going to suffer the repercussions of that sin. And that's why he's teaching us, he keeps encouraging us to grow, so that you don't do those things that, while his blessings are like this facing you, you are opening the back door for the enemy, and he's coming and stealing those things by the things that you're doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you kill somebody, they're going to lock you up, and you won't see all of us for some time. You understand what I'm saying? God forbid. You understand what I'm saying? I don't forget the pilot that committed just one adultery, a believer with a family. And in the process, there was AIDS. And he finally died. And he said only once, so, and he didn't even know. He never did anything like that. But finally he passed because he didn't have faith enough to stand to resist. Not that God cannot heal you. God would have healed him if he had faith enough. But you know, sin dulls your faith. It hinders you from coming boldly. You know, no matter how you try, you find your body. It takes an understanding of the scriptures to be able to know you can still receive mercy at a time of need. Amen? All right. So what happens when you genuinely commit to the Lordship of Jesus? What happens? Let's look at Ephesians chapter. Well, we've already said that. We just finished reading it. That is Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. We read here that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The moment you do that genuinely, because God is interested in your heart, the moment you do it genuinely, bam, that very moment, the blood of Jesus, you know what happens spiritually? He washes away your sins and stamps his image. And that his image is the promised Holy Spirit. Who guarantees that you're a child of God? Who guarantees that everything that belongs to Jesus is yours? So if you do it genuinely, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and you enjoy everything that God has for Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will continue to help you till Jesus comes to take you home. Amen? And then let's look at John chapter 1, verse 12, 13. John chapter 1, 12, 13. Let's read that. Ready, go? John chapter 1, 12 and 13, NLT. Okay, let me read it here. John chapter 1. You're not getting it? Okay, let's read. Ready, go. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human possession or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Amen? So you see what the Bible is saying there? If you believe in him, the Bible said, if you accept him as your Lord and your Savior, the Bible said, he gave you the right. Yes, we are all children of God. But we lost that sonship, you know, in relationship when our forefather Adam sinned. That's what we call outcast in my area. No matter how beautiful a baby is, if you're born in an outcast family, you're an outcast. And the other people will not easily marry you unless they are born again and they understand that in Christ, all those things are done with. Amen? So, you find out that all the people that are in the world, every one of us, we are all creatures of God. Because we lost that sonship relationship in Adam. So you have to receive the nature of God for you again to be called a child of God. Amen? So it's only in Christ Jesus we receive that right again to be called a child of God. So if you genuinely commit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, automatically you receive the right. That right, it is the presence of the Holy Spirit of Christ in you that identifies that you are truly a child of God. The verse 13 said, they are reborn. We're not talking about physical birth. Physical birth is by physical, you know, something. But we are talking about a spiritual birth whereby you receive the Spirit of Christ in you that says, Daddy, you are my daddy because Jesus is my senior brother. Amen? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Let's read it. Ready? Go. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Amen? So the moment you commit to Jesus Christ, you are now a brand new person. We sing it in song. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new woman. Oh, things are passed away. I am born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new woman. And you're a brand new person too in the Lord Jesus if you're born again. Amen? So it means that you are a brand new person. So, you are new. You are born anew. Because old things have passed away. It means your old nature. When we say old things have passed away, we're talking about your old nature. If somebody is born again today, he's a brand new woman or a brand new man. All things have passed away. So that you don't see the person, maybe the person, you know, you say, you stupid person, say, ah, look at this one that just gave her life to Christ. Yes. He need, or she needs to grow. And those things will effortlessly drop by the preaching of the word of God. The word of God now begins to cleanse the person, but the person has received the Spirit whereby he can or she can now begin to understand who he or she really is in the Lord. And those nature, you know, the touch of the Adamic nature will begin, that is on the emotion, on the soul realm, will begin to drop off bit by bit. Amen? So you become a child of God and Abraham's blessings are yours. Let's look at, let's look at first of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. While we are still at it, let's look at it in AMPC. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. Ready, go. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable, and in right relationship with him, by his goodness. Amen? So you see what he's saying there. Let me use my own. Okay, I have it here. So he says, for our sake, God made Jesus virtually to be sin. Jesus knew no sin, yet God made him to be sin. And we that knew sin, he made us to be what? Righteous. When we commit to Christ. Jesus knew no sin, but God made him to be sin on our behalf, and we knew sin, but when you believe that what Jesus did was for you, God makes you righteous. That's a beautiful deal. Hallelujah. He said, we become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be. You see, I believe why the scripture used what we ought to do is because maybe there are still some areas you are physically, you're not performing right, but this is what you ought to be. That's what he made you to be. So talking about your spirit, in your spirit that is like him. Amen? So you become, in Abraham's blessing becomes yours. Let's look at Galatians 3, 13, 14, 26, 29. Galatians 3. Please, ushers, you help me and give out envelopes so that when it's 10:15, we'll pray for the Sunday school offering. Let's read. Ready, go. But Christ has done what? Rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoings, for it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Amen? Everything that belongs to Abraham, that's Abraham's blessing automatically becomes ours. Amen? Now let's look at verse 26. Verse 26, ready, go. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. It's only through faith in Christ Jesus that you become a child of God. Verse 29. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. The Bible said Abraham was rich in silver and gold in cattle. That's your portion. That's your portion. Amen. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, 13 to 15. Colossians 1, 13 to 15. Oh, sorry. Let's start reading from verse 12, please. From verse 12. Ready, go. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. God has qualified you and I, who are in Christ Jesus, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, he has what? Delivered us. Are we reading that? Okay, let's go on. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So you see, Jesus is the firstborn of the Father. I don't know my position. I might be the millionaire child of God. I don't know your position. But the important thing is that I'm a child of God, and Jesus is my senior brother. And you are my sister, you are my brother. So you say, he delivered us from the powers of darkness. That's what happens when you genuinely commit to the lordship of Jesus. You are conveyed or rescued from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen? Because you now have the image of his Son in you. Verse Ephesians chapter 2, 19 and 20. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. Let's read. Ready, go. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen. So the moment you genuinely commit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, you become a fellow citizen with the saints and members of the household of our Father. In other words, you become a saint of God. So when they call the saints, you lift up your hands. We sing a song. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. So if you're born again, you're already in the number. So you don't need to ask God again to help you to be in the number. You're already born again. Hallelujah. So you and the reason why you are a member of the house, so you are no longer a foreigner, you are no longer a stranger, but fellow citizen, if you genuinely commit to the Lordship of Jesus, it's because you are now built on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, does God really love me? Does God really love me? Let's look at John. Okay, we've already read that. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. The Bible said God loved the world. So if he loved the world, if he loved you while you were still in sin, is it now that you are his child that he will not love you? Huh? The Bible said in Romans chapter 8 verse 32, you know, he who did not do what? Spare his own son, but delivered him up for us. How will he not also with him freely give us all? Is it now that you are his child that he would deny you of anything? No. Hallelujah. And then let's look at Romans chapter 8, 32, 34, 39 in NLT. Does God really love me? Does God really love me? Let's look at it. Romans 8, 32. I've already said 32. So let's look at 35, 37, 38, 39. Shall we go? Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Amen. And say, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Are you following? Hallelujah. Okay, now let's look at John chapter 17, verse 20 to 24. John 17, 20, 24. Let's start reading from verse 20. He said, I am praying not only for these disciples, but are you reading with me? I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you do what? You love me. This is Jesus praying. That the world may know that you love them as much as you love me. Amen? And then verse 24. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. I have revealed you to them and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them and I will be in them. Hallelujah. And of course that love is already in us because remember that's why he said I will never leave you, nor because we are carriers of him. He loves us so dearly. 1 John chapter 4, 18 to 19. We are asking, does God really, really love me? Yes, he does. 1 John 4, 18, 19. Verse 8, 10, 16, and 19. Let's read. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. Does God really love us? He sure does. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. We love each other because he loved us first. It's important that we know this. The disciples here said that we know. We must know. We are to grow to know. And the only way to know is by fellowshipping with the word of God. The more you fellowship with the word of God, you get to understand how deeply you're loved by God. That in fact, like one of the preachers said, that God loved me so much that he's carrying my picture in his breast pocket. In fact, that's what he does for me too. If you watch my father, you will see my picture in his breast pocket. Because he loves me so dearly. I'm the apple of his eyes. Why? Because of Jesus. Because Jesus is in me. That's why he loves me. Because for God, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And because he's in me, I am also his beloved daughter in whom he is well pleased. Amen? They said Jesus didn't think it's robbery to be equal with God. I don't think it's robbery for me to say that God is carrying my picture in his breast pocket because he loves me because of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, so look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4. I will quickly read because of our time. It says, "For God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us." I'm going to stop here. It's important for you to know that God, for him to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love. In fact, that word intense, it turns my head, It makes me so happy when I remember that God has intense love for me. And that's the same intense love that he has for every one of us that are his children. And even the world, because that's why he gave Jesus, because he has intense love for all of us. Amen? And the Bible said for us in Jude 21, for us now to keep ourselves in the love of God. Amen? Jude 21 says, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. It is important that you do so. And how do you do that? By fellowshipping with the word of God to get to believe. You know that you know that you know, just as you know your name, that God loves you so passionately. Even when you miss it. Why he loves you is simply because of who? Just because of Jesus, nothing else. Just simply because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. And then the thing is making God a sweetie, sweetie here. Just because of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why Paul prayed in a... That's why Paul, I was saying, that, remember we're talking about how deeply we are loved by God. We said, that's why in Ephesians, Paul was praying. He said, Ephesians chapter 3, 16 to 19... He said, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Why? Say that Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. That is, that you will have that inner settled assurance that Christ is living in you. And then he said, your roots will grow deep into God's love and keep you strong. That your roots will grow deep into this depth of love that your father has for you. It comes by fellowshipping with the word of God. He said, and you may have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love. Hallelujah. His love is so wide, is so long, is so high, is so deep. And when you begin to understand how deeply your love by him, the Bible said in verse 19, then you say, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. It is too great because each time we talk about the fact that God loves us, it's like me, because you begin to focus on flesh, on self, your carnal side, and not the real you, the spirit of Christ in you. Say, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Amen? What is eternal life? Let's look at John 17:3. Let's read. Ready? Go. And this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you, that's talking about God, the only true and real God, and likewise, to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, whom you have sent. So eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus. In knowing God and in knowing Jesus, the life of Christ will begin to rise. You begin to understand how deeply you're loved. You begin to assess what belongs to you. You are not going to go to God timidly. There will no longer be shame, because you begin to understand that your shame has been washed away, that your sins have been washed away, that he has cut off every shame from you, that he has redeemed you from the curse of the law. That is why eternal, that is life of God. The life of Christ begins to radiate. Eternal life is knowing God, and knowing, you have to have an understanding of who God is, an understanding of who Jesus is, an understanding of who you are in Christ. Then you begin to live eternal life here on earth. In other words, begin to live the life of Christ, the life of Christ here. It begins to radiate through you. Amen? In NLT, it says, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, Jesus, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to the world. Amen? So how do you know you have eternal life? You have to have Jesus. That's 1 John chapter 5, 11 to 15. I don't know if we'll have the time to read it. But 11, it says, and this is that testimony, that evidence. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who possesses the Son has that life. So, I mean, if God gave you eternal life in his Son, it is wisdom and common sense that you should do your utmost best to know about this Jesus. In knowing Jesus, you understand the heart of God, because everything about Jesus also reveals the Father to us, and reveals the heart of the Father to us, and how deeply you're loved. And the Bible said that faith works through love. When you begin to understand how deeply you're loved, then you begin to easily assess what God has made available to you through Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's why the Bible said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's Hosea 4:6. The Bible said that everything that pertains to life and godliness that God already gave to us, and they are all in Christ Jesus. But you know, ignorance will make you do without, yet you have everything that pertains to life and godliness in you. Amen? And wisdom comes from the mouth of God, according to Proverbs 6:2. The Bible said that skillful wisdom, they all come from the mouth of God, which means from the word of God. And that's why you have to pay attention to the word of God. You have to study the word of God for yourself. You get to know God for yourself. And that way you begin to celebrate this life of Christ here on earth. You'll be able to know your limits. You'll be able to know when anybody is stepping his bounds concerning your life. When sickness shows up, you'll be able to say, hey, hold it. There's no room for you here. You can say, Satan, no perching. My life is a dangerous zone because I'm a carrier of Jesus. You understand who you are in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, we'll just do a few more. So now the Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 and 10. I will quickly read 1 John chapter 3, 7 to 10. It said, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9 says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Amen? So the Bible is telling us, one, we read it earlier on, that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And he said that, verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin. is talking about yours in your spirit. There's no sin. You have the spirit of Christ in you. We've been taught to remember that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said that the one that does not practice righteousness is not of God. You have to understand that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I might not be getting everything right, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His seed is in me, and so I don't sin. The Bible said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. He said here, nor is he who does not love his brother. You are not loving your brother because when you look at him, you are looking at him from the physical point of view, like we were told yesterday, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. You're looking at him from human point of view, but you forget that because he has the spirit of Christ in him, he also is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the only thing you can do, if you don't have an opportunity to call him close to you and encourage him and say, my brother, this is not right. Why don't you this way? Then you can be praying for him. If you are not privileged to speak into his life, but you don't have to judge and condemn him and, you know, you don't love him, you hate him because of what he's doing. He's also a carrier of God. He too is also the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 54 verse 14, in righteousness only we shall be what? Established. Understanding of the fact that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is the key to victory. That is the only way you will reign in life, because sometimes you will miss it. But remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. The Bible says, you know, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thought. Think God's way. Remember, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because you have Jesus in you. As you believe it and you say it, you will find yourself, you begin to change, to conform to your what you're saying. The Bible said in Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, that it is by acknowledging those good things that are in us, acknowledging the fact that I am in right standing with the Father, not because of my performance, but because of Jesus. Amen? So that you don't look at your brother, you don't even condemn yourself. You know that so long as you keep on fellowshipping with the Word of God will keep on cleaning you, and you keep on changing from one level of glory to another level of glory. So you see yourself constantly as the righteousness of God in Christ, because Jesus Christ has brought us in right standing with the Father. So I am righteous by based on divine exchange. Remember where we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 that he made Jesus to be sin and he made us to be righteous. We that we are sinners, he made us to be righteous. And Jesus, who knew no sin, he made him to be sin. So the righteousness we are talking about is a gift. It is not based on your performance. As you believe it and you confess it, you believe it and you confess it, you keep watch over your heart to make sure that it lines up with what the Bible said about you. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, that Jesus Christ is our righteousness, is our holiness, he's our purity, he's our all in all. So if Jesus Christ is my righteousness, it is not based on my own righteousness. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's only his grace that brought that right standing for me in Christ Jesus. Once I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you understand it? So the reason why people, you know, do what they do is because they don't understand the love of the Father for them. The moment you begin to understand how deeply you're loved by the Father, you begin to embrace him. Even when you miss it, you go, because he's still the one that can help you. Nothing can wash away your sin but the blood of Jesus. You still keep on coming. He's the one that will change you effortlessly as you keep fellowshipping with the Word of God. Remember, as the seed of the Word of God is being sown, that word will always produce from one level of glory to another level of glory to another level of glory to another level of glory. So today, as you have come, you will hear the incorruptible Word of God, and that word will bear fruit, and the fruit will multiply, and your life will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.